Today's scripture reading is from Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So a mother and father and their six-year-old son went to visit a church for the first time in the month of December. They found the Sunday school class for their son, dropped him off. The parents went to worship. When they regathered, got in the car to go home, the father asked his son sitting in the back seat, "So what did you do in Sunday school today?" The boy said, "Well, they taught us the story of Jesus' birth." The father said, "Well, what did you learn?" The boy said, "Well, it all started when this girl named Mary went for a walk in the woods. And she came upon a magician who said, 'If you'll drink my magic potion, you'll have a baby.' Well, later on, she and her boyfriend went to some place called Bethlehem. And because they didn't have reservations, they had to sleep in the barn, and that's where the baby was born. And about that time, fireworks went off over the town. These shepherds out in the field said, 'Let's go find out what is causing all the fireworks.' And when they got into the town, they found the family and learned that the baby's name was Jesus." The parents looked at each other incredulous. The father said to the son, "Is that what they taught you at that church?" The boy was quiet for a moment. He said, "Well, not exactly. But Dad, honestly, if I told it to you like they did, you'd never believe it." Christmas is a pretty unbelievable story until you experience it. Until you experience it. For the past number of Sundays in the season of Advent, we've been looking at the spiritual meaning of the places in the Christmas story, starting in Rome, where a census was called for by the emperor, and then to Jerusalem with the parents of John the Baptist, Zechariah and Elizabeth, then to Nazareth, and then to the hill country where Mary went to stay with Elizabeth. Now tonight, we finally arrive in Bethlehem, and the first thing we have to note upon this arrival is how insignificant the place seems. Historians say that Bethlehem may have been a village as small as just 300 people when Jesus was born. It was on a trade route, which meant that's where people stayed on the way to somewhere else. Bethlehem wasn't a destination kind of town. But it did have this going for it. Bethlehem was the ancestral home for descendants of the tribe of Judah, and that's what brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, because a census had been called for. And we know why emperors take a census, to know how many citizens are registered so that they have to pay a tax. So in arriving in Bethlehem, there's one thing we know for sure: a new tax law is about to go into effect. So upon arrival, they learn there's no place for them to stay. small place like Bethlehem would not have many places for lodging. And as we learned this morning, in the emphasis upon Bethlehem as a place of hospitality, Bishop Cornett did a great job pointing out that this idea that the innkeeper was some kind of a mean, cold-hearted individual, it isn't accurate. He made what place was available. He provided a stable. The point is very simple, but when we make even the tiniest room for God in our lives, it makes a difference. So this innkeeper makes available this stable, and that is where Jesus is born. But now tonight, we're going to move outside the village, and our destination takes us just a little bit out of town to the fields where shepherds were keeping watch over the sheep. Bethlehem had a lot of sheep. Because of its close proximity to Jerusalem, this is where many of the sheep were raised to be taken to sacrifice in the temple. So you would have had many shepherds and sheep all over the hillsides surrounding Bethlehem. And it's interesting that the first invitees to worship Christ would be shepherds. Surprisingly, the Bible gives very favorable treatment to shepherds. Throughout the history of Scripture, it talks about Moses as a shepherd. Amos, the prophet, was a shepherd. Jesus himself identified himself as the good shepherd. One of the most famous passages of Scripture, the 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I say that it's surprising the Bible does this because of what we know from historians about shepherds. There's a Jewish writing called the Midrash, and it says on its commentary of Psalm 23 that being a shepherd was the most undesirable occupation in that day and time. Shepherds were not allowed to hold public office. A shepherd could not even be a witness in court. In other words, they weren't even full people. Typically, shepherds had no education. Shepherding was the kind of job that you took because you can't get any other job. So many times, the people who took a job as a shepherd tended to run with a pretty rough crowd. They were uncouth people. So shepherds were not very respected. How is it that the Bible does both? It treats people with such respect, and yet the same people are treated with disrespect. How do you hold that together? I had an experience when I was in college that kind of makes sense of this for me. When I was in college, I worked for the food service company that handled the meals in the cafeteria, and I washed dishes. And I was grateful that the window where students would bring their trays was low, so people only saw my hands when I took their dirty trays and dishes. They didn't have to see my face because it was not a very desirable job to have, washing dishes in the school cafeteria, but it made me some money. Every now and then, I got to cater some of the food service events on the campus, like at the president's home. As it turned out, one night, I got to be in the president's home as a guest. I was being honored with other students for some kind of academic event, and the president's wife was at the door greeting each student as we entered. She looked at my name tag, read my name, welcomed me. Later that night, she didn't have to look at the name tag. She came up, called me by name, took an interest in where was I from, what did my parents do, how was I liking the school, what was my major, what are my plans. We talked for a long time. The next night, I got to be back at the president's house, but this time, as a worker. So another event was going on. I had my apron on. I carried two trays of food into the kitchen, and there's the president's wife. And I went right up to her and said, "Hello, Mrs. So-and-so, how are you?" She looked at me as if she clearly did not know who I was and said, "I'm doing fine. Just put the trays over there." So I did. A few minutes later, she was snapping because we didn't know where all of the things in the kitchen were. "Would you please get this? Would you get over here and do this? We need this done better." I mean, on and on for the whole evening. I went back to my dorm room, and I thought, wait a minute. I'm the same person I was the night before. I'm the same person who was being honored and treated with respect as I am the person being criticized and treated like a nobody simply because I had my apron on doing food service work. And I felt God whisper to me in that moment in my dorm room that night, just remember, Rob, no matter what's on the outside of a person, on the inside is somebody who appreciates respect and love. You know, I don't always need other people to treat me both ways. Sometimes I'm quite capable of doing that on my own. Sometimes I can do things that make me really proud of myself, that make me go to bed at night and think, you know, I did well today. And there are other days when it's hard to look in the mirror because I don't like the person who's looking back at me, because I'm so ashamed by things I've done or said. And that's when I have to remember, I am the same person. And I need to be encouraged to live into that better nature. I believe that is why the angels invited the shepherds, because they, of all people, needed to be encouraged with their heritage, a proud heritage, a heritage that mattered and made a difference, a heritage that God honored, and to say, that's who you really are. Think about who wasn't there. The high priest wasn't there. Quirinius, the governor, wasn't there. Certainly not Augustus, the emperor of the Roman Empire. They weren't there. Why weren't they there? If you were going to legitimate the birth of Jesus as a big-time event, wouldn't you have big-time people there? Wouldn't you bring people into the stable who would make sure that the whole world is going to know about what happened here because of the ones you put there? Why would you put shepherds there? Maybe it's because those other people already had all the respect they were looking for. And if they were looking for any more respect in life, perhaps they were the kind of people who would not go looking for it in a backwater place like Bethlehem in a dirty stable. Perhaps the shepherds were invited because they were open to the invitation to claim the glory that God wanted them to know. This is what Paul describes in his famous hymn to Christ, Philippians chapter 2, where he talks about the glory of Jesus. Jesus being, it says, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. In one of John Ortberg's books, he references a scholar's work on this verse from Philippians, and particularly paying attention to that first word, being. He makes the note that this is a circumstantial participle. In other words, the word used depends on the circumstances that are being described. In other words, because Jesus is in very nature God, he becomes a servant. Let's see if we get the hang of what I'm talking about here. Let's say we begin a sentence that says, being Indianapolis Colts fans, what would the rest of that sentence have to be to make sense that we're beginning it that way? Being Indianapolis Colts fans, we expect them to go to the Super Bowl next year? Probably not. We might say something like, although we are Indianapolis Colts fans, we expect to go to the Super Bowl. So what if we said, being Indianapolis Colts fans? How would that sentence have to go to make it true? Being Indianapolis Colts fans, we're sure glad it's basketball season, right? All right, let's try a few others. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to show you some sentences, and I want you to determine which participle goes in the blank, although or because. Although or because the circumstance described will tell you which word goes in. Let's see the first one. So the first one is, blank, I've been naughty. I hope Santa will be good to me. Which word should go in there? although I have been naughty. If you begin the sentence, because I've been naughty, I hope Santa will be good to me. Well, that might have a real different meaning to it, won't it? All right, let's try another one here. Blank Pastor Rob sings in them. The carpool karaoke videos have been quite popular on social media. What should it be? Of course it should be because Pastor Rob sings. You're getting the hang of this. All right, let's do one more. Blank, Purdue beat IU in football this year. There's no question who the better team is. Now, which should it be? Oh, sounds a little divided there. Sounds a little divided. You got the idea. You got the idea. The circumstance described determines the word you use. And many scholars through history have said, although Jesus was in nature God, he became a servant. And modern commentators have said that's not quite right. Because Jesus is in very nature God, he became a servant. It's not contrary to the nature of God. It's the definition of the nature of God. That's who God is. That's what glory is. Glory is not the opposite of being a servant, of being lowly, of being... That's the glory where we experience God. A book on congregational self-analysis talks about how consultants go into churches and they say, tell us stories that capture what you think are the most significant moments in a church. And in one congregation in New England, they asked that question. They were amazed. Everybody in the room repeated the same story. They said, there was a time several years ago at a Christmas service, the choir director's 10-year-old daughter was singing a solo for the very first time. She looked beautiful. Her mother made her hair. She had a neatly pressed choir robe on. The moment came in the presentation when the girl sang her solo, and she did it flawlessly. But she was masking her inner nerves. And the moment she finished on the last note, she threw up. And she totally covered her robe. And the congregation just sat in pain, because they felt horrible for her. And yet, what can you do? And in that moment, they said her choir director father walked over to her and bent down and in his choir robe pulled her against him and just lifted her up and put her head on his shoulder. And the congregation was transfixed because they were witnessing glory. What is glory? Glory is a God who comes down and is willing to meet people in their mess and make it his own. Glory is a God who comes to you this night, whatever your situation is, and says, I will meet you in that, and I will help bear it with you. That is the fundamental meaning of Christmas. That Christ was born in a stable, worshiped by shepherds of all people. They were the first ones there, perhaps because they were the most open to that word. And when we are willing to live that way, that's how we experience glory. I don't know if you've seen the movie Wonder yet. I highly recommend it to you. Wonder. It's about the true story of August Pullman. Susan and I went to see it a few weeks ago. A boy who was born with great disfigurement to his face. And I'll try not to give the plot away to you, but it's a story in his fifth grade year that is about the best and the worst of humanity. About the things that people can do to each other because they don't understand and because they are people who need glory from other people. But then the movie sort of turns as these different characters discover what real glory means. It's when you seek to lift somebody else up. As we seek to be people who in a world have plenty of folks who have been put on the underside, who have had their glory stripped and robbed of them, to say, I know a God who gives me all I need to live in this life with pride and joy and glory. And I'm willing to enter that space with you and lift you up. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, this is a glorious night. And it is a glorious night not just because of the beauty of this room and not just because of the sound of the music and the candles. It's glory because we are reminded that you are in this world with us and you meet us wherever we go. You enter into our places of need. You provide us love and hope and mercy that enables us to be people who give love and hope and mercy to others. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And to the best we know how, Lord, we welcome him again this night into our lives. Amen.